How many of you guys have ever been involved in VBS here? Raise your hand. All right. And we know the amount of time it takes to put this together, right? The planning and everything like that. And sometimes you're like, is it worth it? Right. Or are we ever going to get to see the fruits of that? And this morning you guys get to hear a little bit of that story. Right. So I'm going to ask you guys to go up and cue the video. You can dim the lights a little bit. No popcorn, guys. All right. But we're going to watch a little video from Pastor.
It's me, Pastor Lewis. And yes, I'm not with you this morning. And I know what you're thinking. I can read your mind. I really can. You're thinking to yourself, really, bro? 4 Sundays, you were out. You come back and preach for one. And now you're out again. What? You looking for another job or something? No. So dispel the rumor, okay? I am not looking for another job. And in fact, let me let you in on something. In a couple of Sundays, I'll be out again. Why? Because at that time, a wedding will take me away from being with you on that Lord's Day. But today, I'm actually in Gainesville at Westside Baptist Church. By the time you watch this video, I will be part of their worship service. And why am I here? Well, I'm here because my niece's oldest son is getting baptized. My niece Monique, her oldest son is Bentley, he's getting baptized. Why is that a big deal? Well, listen, I'm here because I'm family, but I'm also here as your pastor representing our church. Why is that a big deal? Well, first and foremost, it's a big deal because the Lord so pleased to grant salvation to Bentley. And he's getting baptized because of that. All right, to display that, to show that, what Jesus has done in his life. But it's also a big deal because the Lord was so pleased to use us, one of our ministries here at Pines, to plant the seed. And that ministry was Vacation Bible School. Vacation Bible School. And of all things, it was, the last call to heaven, a puppet show that the Lord used to plant that seed. And last summer, it bore fruit unto salvation. So let us rejoice. Pines Baptist Church, our work, our labor in the Lord is not in vain. Pat and Marcia, your labor in the Lord is not in vain. VBS crew, your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Thanking the Lord for the leadership of Pat and Marcia, for Stacy Wade. Listen, thank you for leading VBS. And we thank the Lord for granting salvation to Bentley. And may he grant salvation to our children. Amen. May he grant salvation to our children. And I want to pray for that. And I also want to pray for DJ. He's back with you today. And he's going to bring a good word from the Lord to you. I believe it's from James chapter 1. So pay attention. Pay attention. Let's not be okay with being hearers of the word, but let's strive to be doers of the word. So let me pray, and then I'll entrust you to the ministry of the word. So let's pray. Father, we are grateful to you for this morning. Thank you that we are able to gather in your name and for your glory. I thank you for granting Bentley salvation. And he represents our kids. He represents the next generation. We pray for our children that do not know you, that they will grow up to know you, to love you, and to serve you, that you would be pleased to grant them repentance unto salvation. Lord God, I also pray for my brother and fellow servant DJ, that you would use him now to reach your people, through your word, that he would minister in your power and in your might. Do your mighty work in and through him. We love you and we trust you in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Well, listen, miss you guys. Love you. I'll be back next Sunday. Okay, until then, may the Lord bless you and may the Lord keep you. And hey, one last word. DJ, preach the word.
It's a little aggressive, that ending there, right? We're going to be James chapter 1. It would have been funny if I switched it on Pastor so you didn't know what I was talking about, right? But we are going to be in James chapter 1. So if you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to go ahead and turn there. If you don't have a Bible, there might be one in front of you or some in the back. Or if you want to do like the kids and just use your phone. But then I don't know if you guys are playing on Instagram or something, that throws me off, all right? So as you guys start turning to James chapter 1, it's funny, a couple years ago, I would take Madison to, she had the dual enrollment, right? And because she didn't want to start driving at 16, I had to be her personal Uber driving around. So I would take her from high school, and then we would go to her college classes, right? And I would sit there for, it felt like 5 hours, but I'm Cuban, so I'm exaggerating a little bit, right? But it was like an hour and a half, 2 hours. That would just be there, sitting there, because I didn't want to drive all the way home and then go back and pick her up. And I used to joke about, like, what if I just walk into a class? Man, just sit in a class and I don't learn something, right? And I was like, I wonder, can I do that? And then I started doing some research and I could audit a class, right? There's programs that you can audit a class. And I was like, wow, this is pretty cool, right? I can go into the class and I didn't really have to learn anything, right? You just sit in there and listen. I didn't have to worry about passing a test or memorizing anything. I can watch everybody sit around me and scramble of like how they can, you know, how they put this stuff into action. And it would be great, right? I didn't really have to memorize anything. I didn't have to take tests. I didn't have a grade point average. I didn't really have to do anything, right? And the best part is that I didn't really have to show up. I could just show up when I want to, not show up. And there's no fear of consequences. And I realized that the sad part about that story is that's how many treat the church, right? That's how many people treat their Christian faith the same way. They show up like it's a college course, like they're auditing. They don't really feel the need to memorize anything. They just show up, listen for a couple hours, and go home, right? They enjoy the music and the friends and the worship. And they were what James would call hearers of the words, but not doers. Right? And these people fill our local churches, and they're thrilled to receive the word, but not act on the word, right? They receive the word with meekness, the word that's planted in them. They love listening to it, love listening to the sermons, right? They love the orthodoxy, right? The receiving it, but they don't practice. And as far as they're concerned, as long as they're checking the box, there's no danger, right? But James, we're going to read, warns of that, right? He warns us that we should be afraid of being hearers of the words and not doers of the words. So this morning, what I want us to do is take this portion of James and see how then we apply it, right? And we're going to get into it, but they're easy, right? They're easy things. So in your Bibles, James chapter 1, verses 19 through 25, you guys read, I'll follow along. No? Okay, I'll read, you guys follow along. If you're new to the church, they're kind of lazy, guys, all right? So the audience participation part is weak, but be patient with them, all right? They'll grow on you, okay? So no, I'm just kidding. James chapter 1, verses 19 through 25. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers, only deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he looks like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being a hearer of the word and doesn't forget, and but not a doer who acts, he will be blessed in all his doing. What James is doing here this morning, right? And what I wanted to encourage you guys is he's showing us how do we respond to God's word, right? And I want you to look through verses 19 through 25, and we're going to go through it. I'm going to have them behind, right? And I want you to kind of circle every time you see the word in Scripture, right? So as you start reading, you look down at verse 21. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word. All right, circle that there, which is able to serve. And verse 22, but be doers of the word. Circle it there. Verse 23, if anyone is a hearer of the word, circle it there. And then you drop down to verse 25, right? And he switches up his terminology, but it's the same picture. But anyone who looks, that word law, that's where I want you to circle. All right. And then even if you go to verse 18, I know we didn't read it, but I have your own will he brought forth by the word of truth. Circle it there. Right? And what we got is a picture of James chapter 1, and James showing us the importance of the word, right? And how to respond. And there's going to be three ways to respond, okay? And I want to tell you they're simple, right? They're simple ways to respond. They're ways to put them into practice. But if we let these truths take root in our hearts, it would change the way we live in our cities, right? And in this church. So first one there, right? First one, humbly. That's how we receive the word. First, we humbly receive the word, right? He says it in verse 19. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, right? Hurry up and listen is what he's literally saying. Slow to speak, be quiet and listen, and slow to be angry, right? To listen humbly, not with defenses up or a resistance or anger to God's word, right? And in my mind, I was thinking, you know, a lot of times we go to work, God's word talking instead of listening. And you're like, DJ, what are you talking about? I read, I don't talk and listen. Right? But we already have this in our mind, how we want to live our lives. Right? We have this American dream we want to chase, or this dream we want to chase. And we bring that with us to our study of God's word. So maybe you're not talking verbally out loud, but you already have your minds made up of how you want to live your life. So we don't come to God's word listening. Right? And Scripture wants us to go counter to that, right? Where it says, no, we want to receive this word humbly, right? We want to listen to this word, not with defenses up, right? Or we begin to twist God's word to fit our lifestyles, right? Or you know, maybe you're reading Scripture and you're like, that one's not as inspired as this one here. I like this one better, right? Because it fits that lifestyle, right? But that's not what he's saying. He's saying to come to listen humbly. Right. And you think about this there. And this is all through Scripture. We see the history of God's people is not to receive God's word humbly. Right. It's how the people in the Old Testament would be proclaiming and they wouldn't listen. It's how people of Israel would treat Jesus. Right. The Jewish people, Paul would come in the synagogues. They pull him out and stone him. Right. And so we have this picture that if we're not careful, it's in us naturally not to receive God's word humbly. Right. There's this picture that reminds us it's not very encouraging for somebody to come preach God's word. Right. If you look at through the history of God's word, is people, you know, doing these things to come across a verse like Luke 9:23-24, when he says, deny yourself. And automatically you think, how do I get around that? And the truth is, we don't get around God's word. We receive it. Right. And then how do you do that? And look down to what he says. Verse 21. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness. Right? Put away all moral filth and wickedness that's so prevalent in our culture. We bring some of these sinful ideas with us to God's word when we study God's word. And he's saying, no, put them off. Right? See sin for what it is and don't bring that to your study of God's word. And I found it interesting this one commentator. And I want you to hear the way he describes sin and the way that we should be looking at sin. It should be on the board behind you. The sickening filth of a pestilence ulcer. Sin is the devil's vomit, the soul's excrement, the suffluity of garbage, of naughtiness and wickedness, as it is called there, an allusion to the garbage of the face cast into the brook Kendron. That is the town's ditch. So sin is this wickedness, right? He says it's the devil's vomit. It's the excrement in the creek, right? That's how we should treat sin and not bring it into our study of God's word, right? So he's saying, put this off. We need to come to God's word and receive it, right? Take it off, was the way he's saying. And he says, we need to come before God's word and receive it, the meekness, the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. So I want to do something now, right? And then we're going to be turning in God's word a lot this morning. So with that picture there, right? The receive with meekness, the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Will you guys turn me to Jeremiah chapter 31? Jeremiah chapter 31. If you got to use your table of contents, go ahead and do that. Right? Jeremiah chapter 31. And it's one of those pieces of scripture that if you don't have underline in your Bible, I want to encourage you guys to underline in your Bible. So Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31. Jeremiah was a prophet to God's people. And this is the part of scripture where he's talking about the covenant that's to come. Right? So we got a picture in James, right? This implanted word in us. And then I want you to hear from Jeremiah, right, of what he says here. So we're going to be picking up Jeremiah 31, verse 31. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not like the covenant I made with their fathers on the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant they broke, though I was husband, declares the Lord. This is the part I want you to really pay attention to. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declared the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Did you guys catch that language? He's saying, I'm going to put my law on their hearts. And then turn over me two books to the right, to Ezekiel. All right? Ezekiel. We're going to be Ezekiel chapter 36. And we're going to be verses 24 through 37, right? So you got this picture of he's saying there's coming a day where my law is going to be implanted on your heart. And Ezekiel picks up kind of the same language there. So Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 24 to 27. I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries and bring you to your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanliness and from all your idols. I will cleanse you, and I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your heart of flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and cause you to walk in my way, in my laws, in my statutes, and be careful to obey my rules. Do you guys catch that language there? Right? He's saying, I'm going to put my law on your heart. I'm going to put my spirit on your heart, right? And my word plus my spirit, that's what's going to move you, right? That is what's going to move you. And James saying that the same thing, right? So if you go back there with me to James chapter 1, what we got a picture here is James telling us that God has already put the law in our heart, right? And it's Him that moves us. It's Him that moves us. So now coming back to James chapter 1, and I want you to think, right? James, he's writing to predominantly Jewish Christians at this time. And with that picture, he says, humbly accept the word planted in you, right? Receive this word. He put His word in our hearts, right? He put His spirit in our hearts. So then that, the word and the spirit, that's what fuels us, right? That's what fuels our lives. So we can't underestimate the importance and the power of the word, which can save us, right? And that's what he says back in verse 18. Of His own will, He brought us forth by the word of truth, right? It's the word hiding in our hearts. It's Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God, all right? And this is how we're saved. It's God's word taking root in our hearts, right? It's taking root of our hearts, opening our eyes to our sinfulness and His glory, right? And the sufficiency of the cross. It's trusting Him. So I challenge you guys this morning to receive God's word humbly. Don't come this morning looking to take God's word and twist it to fit your life. It's not what we prefer, but we receive it humbly, the word planted in us, right? The word in us. Spurgeon writes the following behind me about this, when we talk about this word receive. The first thing then is receive. That word receive is a very intrusive gospel word. It is the door through which God's grace enters to us. We are not saved by working, but by receiving. Not what we give to God, but what God gives us and we receive from Him. So I challenge you guys to receive God's word humbly. Receive His word humbly. Second, we remember His word constantly. We remember His word constantly. Now, I want you to see in the last two verses here, verses 22 through 25, they're kind of intertwined, right? But we remember the word constantly. And I want you to look down with me at verse 25. And he picks up at the end of this weird analogy that he gives, right? Contrasting. And we'll get there to a second. But he says, but the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres. Right, and I like the NIV translation to this. He says it the same, but a little different. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law. And I really like that word, intently. The definition of intently is an intent or concentrated manner with great effort, attention, or concentration. Right? This is to investigate God's word. Right? To sit there and study it. Look intently. Right? And the reminder of church, we're all so busy. Right? That, isn't that what we say about everything? I'm busy. And James is saying, stop. Open God's word and study it, right? Look at it. Don't be content with, oh, I got a Bible app that gives me a daily scripture memorization, right? No, what he's saying here is open God's word, remember it, right? Not only remember it, but he says, look into the perfect law. Look intently into the perfect law that gives freedom. Continue to do this and perseveres, right? Linger there, not forgetting what you heard. We're letting this word absorb into us, right? And again, the reminder is how quickly we are to forget the Lord our God. Right. So again, we're going to do some flipping in our Bible. So if you're already thinking where I'm going, we're going to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. All right. Deuteronomy is the law. So what we're doing is Deuteronomy was them recounting the law before they get into the promised land. And I want you to see what we're getting here. All right. And again, the reminder of how easy it is for us to kind of forget. Right. So Deuteronomy chapter 6, again, one of those important parts of scripture. I encourage you guys, if you don't have underlines, underline it. Chapter 6, verses 4. We're going to go 4 through 9. All right. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command to you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk about them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as signs in your hands, and you shall be on your frontlets of your eyes. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Right? God's word saturated everywhere. Right? When do we talk about God's word? Always, right? When you sit up, when you lie down, when you walk along the road, everything you're doing should be around this word. And he's saying, saturate this word in your lives, right? Absorb, let this word absorb into you. And then pick up with me verses 10. We're going to go 10 through 12, all right? And I want you to see what he's saying here about remember. Right? Remember God's word. And when the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, to give you with great food and cities that you did not build, and houses full of all good things that you did not fill, and cisterns that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant. And when you eat and when you are full, then take care lest you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of slavery out of the land of Israel. To remember, right? And then turn over with me real quick to chapter 8. And I want you to continue to hear God reminding his people, don't forget. Chapter 8, verses 11, we'll go 11 through 18. Take care, lest you forget the Lord your God, by not keeping his commandments, his rules, and his statutes, which I command to you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full, and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply, and silver and gold is multiplied, and you have all that you have is multiplied, then your heart will be lifted up. And you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness with fiery serpents and scorpions, thirsty ground with no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, and have humbled yourself and test you to do good. Beware lest you forget the Lord. All right. Again, it's our constant temptation through the history of God's people to forget the Lord, right? To forget. So what do we have to do? We have to work to remember, right? And that's exactly what James is talking about. And he uses this weird analogy, right, of a man who looks at himself in the mirror and he walks away and, you know, he couldn't even pick himself up out of a yearbook picture, right? And it's that crazy then to look at God's word and walk away and forget it, right? And Gary and I were talking about this not too long ago, right? We're going to spend a good amount of our time this morning looking at God's word. But I want you to think about last Sunday, right? You went to lunch. How much of that word did you remember? Right? Then you got home for dinner. Even more forgot. Right? And then I bet you if I called you Monday morning and say, hey, what pastor preached on? It would all be gone. Right? Because we need to work to remember God's word. Right? And that's the key part there. And what's scary, and again, Eddie and I were talking about this morning, that there are preachers today who say, okay, my church is not, they're not retaining enough, right? So I'm going to make my sermon wrapped around one piece of scripture, right? Just one verse, make it easy for them. Right? And I think the best way for us to remember God's word is not by one piece of scripture, but it's by absorbing God's word. Right, that's by spending time studying God's word. So when we come back to it, right? So now, you know, my hope is I give you enough to get you excited that you then study this word, right? That you go back and study James and you start reading through it and you have the conversations talking, right? Remember it constantly. And I know that there are people here that say, I can't remember, right? I can't remember. I wish I could sing. I'd start singing a Journey song and see how many of you guys like jump in with me on a song, right? But I can't sing and I don't want to scare you guys away. And the reality is, it depends what we like. That's what we remember, right? And I was doing a study, and it was saying that now even more than ever, our brains are not retaining information. And you know why? It's because I have all the information I need right here. So when I think about something, I just look it up. Up there it is, right there. I read it, I remind you to it, and I move on. I don't take time to store it in my brain. Right. And the same thing with scripture. You know, I think it says something like this. I look it up. Oh, yeah, the scripture says this. And then I move on. I don't work to remember it. Right. So there is There is a challenge to reading God's word. But Psalm 19, which we read, it says that his word is more precious than gold. So my question is then, church, what value do you place on God's word? Right? Like if I were to tell you that, not me, because I don't have the money, but Sandy would give you $1,000 for every Bible verse you remember from now until midnight, you guys would remember some scripture, wouldn't you? Right? Be looking at as much scripture as you can to internalize it, to remember it, and bam, Sandy, $1,000 bucks, because you would work to remember God's word. Right? So I do want to encourage you guys into the practice of the spiritual disciplines of remembering God's word. Amen. Remembering God's word. You think back to when you first get saved and how excited you are for this scripture, right? And you're remembering things, and you can't wait to sit. And then as time goes by, we work on it less and less. So I want to encourage you guys to remember God's word. And I'll tell you, it will change the way you live. It will change the way you pray. You're praying according to scripture, right? I've heard people say, like, I don't know how to pray. Then I challenge you, open the Psalms and read them back to God, right? Learn to pray. Learn to pray by listening to other people. But we need to know God's word so we know how to pray. We know what to pray for. Right. And then not only that, you think about Jesus when he's tempted. Right. Matthew chapter 4, the devil's tempting him. And every time he says what? It is written. It is written. It is written. Does Jesus need to do that? Yeah. To show us the importance of God's word. Right. He's Jesus. He is God. He doesn't need to do it. Everything he says becomes what? Scripture. So he could have said it and it would be scripture. But he's showing us the importance of his word. Right. He literally speaks, and I have red letters in my Bible. Right. But he's showing us time and time again, your word I have hidden in my heart, not to forget it, right? Not to sin against you. So work to remember. Right? We remember it constantly, not forgetting. And this is where he gets back into it. And he says, not only is it dangerous, but he goes as far as say it's damning to ourselves to not remember God's word, right? That we're deceiving ourselves, thinking that we're okay, but we don't know scripture, right? We're not remembering it. And if we're not remembering it, then we're not putting it into practice, so then we're deceiving ourselves, and our religion is worthless. So, big deal, Pines, we gather Sunday morning for a long time, this morning, but we're not remembering God's word. What's the point of it all? Right? We leave here and we don't put it in practice, and he says, not only are we deceiving ourselves, but we're damning ourselves. Right? So I challenge you this week, as you're going forward, right, put away Instagram for a little while, right? Put away Facebook for a little while. Put away TikTok for a little while. I got to hit the generations, right? The older generation is Facebook, and then the millennials is Instagram, and then everything under is TikTok, right? But put away that time, right? Put away that time on this reality show or this movie. And I know I can get stuck in, you know, I hate flying, right? I hate flying, all right? But it's funny, I can watch a stupid show on TV, a series, and be there for hours and not move, right? And I'm like, oh, I'll just do that on the plane, right? But then on the plane, I'm watching everything else. But how easy your mind is to just waste on nonsense, right? Waste on nonsense. So I challenge you guys, put that away for a little aside, right? Man, I challenge you to know this word, to be able to teach it to your families more than you know statistics of men playing a sport with a ball, right? Know this word. Let it worship. Let it soak into your mind daily. And women, don't say amen too fast, right? Because I know a lot of you guys, you know the most gossip on any reality TV show, right? So the same thing, right? Put away that moral filth, right? And receive the word planted in you, right? We hide it on our hearts. Men, I challenge you again. Teach this to yourselves. Teach it to your families. And maybe you're like, I'm a single mom. Moms, remember this word. Right? Teach it to your kids. If you're here and you're already past that age, and I'm seeing kids here, right, who are in college and stuff like that, remember this word constantly. Remember it constantly. Right? And third way we respond is we obey his word. Right? Verse 22 in James is literally the theme verse for the book of James. But he says, but be doers of the word and not hearers, only deceiving yourself. And bottom line, James is saying is this word evokes action. Right? This word evokes action. And if there's no action from the word, was there really any acceptance of the word? Right? And this goes right into the face of what many teach lately, right? That you can accept Jesus, but you don't have to obey Jesus. Right? And there's the danger of if you accept the Jesus and you don't obey him, then what did you accept? Right? And what we're seeing here in James is the Christian life is there's action. There's action because of the word, right? And now, I know we're not perfect, right? But what James is telling us here is the word in us moves us to action, right? We got Jeremiah and Ezekiel telling us the same thing. It's God's word in us, right? That he's doing all the work because it's his word in us. It's his spirit in us moving us to do this. So the question is not, is the word in me and it's not causing me to do anything? Is the word even in you? Right? Is this even in you? Because we can't blaspheme the word and say the word is in me, but it's not doing anything. Because this word has power. Right? This is the word that saves us. It's the word that God promised through Jeremiah, through Ezekiel. He says, I'm going to put my word in your heart, my word in your soul, and that's going to change everything about you. Right? It's the picture of Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount, and you'll see it behind me. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who what? Does the will of my Father. Right? There's action that takes place. That's why he closes out the Sermon on the Mount, again behind me, starting in verse 22 of Matthew chapter 7. But anyone who hears the words of mine and what? Does them, will be like a wise man who built his house on a rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and blew against the house, but it did not fall because its foundation was on the rock. Heard and applied. However, those who hears these words of mine and what? Does not do them? He's not talking to the pagan people, right? Jesus was talking to the religious people of his time, saying anyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. And the waves came and the winds blew and beat against the house and it fell with a great fall. Church, don't miss this. If your life is built on listening to Jesus' words alone, right? Sunday after Sunday coming, just hearing God's word and not putting him into practice, Scripture is telling us that your life will ultimately and eternally end in destruction. And this is what he gets back to, and this is how foolish it is, back in verse 25. And he says, the man who looks intently, and I love this language, he switched it around, but he says, looks intently into the perfect law of liberty. Right? The perfect law of liberty is not referring to Old Testament Mosaic law. Right? He's talking about the law perfected in Christ. The law in which Christ set us free. And it's that law. And I know as soon as we start talking about being obedient to laws, what's the first thing people think? Legalism. Legalism. He's being legalistic, right? And they start running away. And what James is saying here is we don't run from the law. We run to the law of liberty that sets us free. It's Psalm 119:32. I run into the path of your commands, for you have set my heart free. Right? And this is where we do guard against legalism, because we realize it's not what I muster up, right, to do works to earn favor before God. Again, he's doing all the work. He's saying, I put my law in you, my heart in you, and thou, because of those, you'll be blessed in what you do. Right? And you might be saying, DJ, are you saying that blessing is conditional on my obedience to God? I'm not saying that. James is. James is telling us that, right? We create this whole picture of Jesus as he's not the sovereign king who demands and deserves our total obedience, right? As if it's optional. And I don't want to take away from the truth that Jesus does love us, right? And we can't earn favor before God. But John 15:14 says, you are my friend if you do what I command. If you do what I command, you are my friend. He also says in 15:10, if you obey my word, you will remain in my love. 1 John 2, verse 4. If you claim to know Christ and you don't obey his commands, you're a liar and the truth is not in you. And it's strong language, right? And it is the truth. And you're saying like, okay, so does that mean I can earn favor before God? No, that's not what we're saying. Right? And this is where the beauty comes, and he kind of ties it all together. You go back with me to verse 21. Therefore, put away the filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Did you guys catch that there? Right. Salvation coming in James chapter 1 by receiving. Right? By receiving God's word. This is the picture by his grace. He says, I put my word in your heart, right? My spirit in your heart to move you into obedience. Right? But it's not just obedience, right? It's obedience because we're so moved by his spirit and by his word, it just flows from us, right? And that's the reality. He's doing all the work. It's not us what we're doing. He's doing all the work and we're receiving the blessing. We're not even doing the work. He's doing the work and we're receiving the blessing. And it all comes from us receiving the word humbly, right? Remembering it and then obeying it. This is Psalm 1, right? The blessing of God upon a people walking by His grace for His glory. It's obeying the word. Right? And you hear people say all the time, like, well, I'm okay because I'm willing to obey. Right? I'm willing to obey. Right? And you have to be careful there because, yes, God wants a willing heart. Right? And I don't want to take that picture away, but He also wants a heart that honors. Right? And it's a heart that honors. And we have to be careful. And it's not, are you willing to help the poor? His command is help the poor. Right? It's not, are you willing to share the gospel? It's share the gospel. Right? You know, I'm willing to be holy. And He's saying, no, be holy. Right? There's commands that we must obey here. So we have to be careful that we're not just listening, that it's not just lip service. Right? That there's action being done. Right? And He's saying, I put my spirit in you to accomplish what I'm commanded you to do. Right? And now, as we start to land the plane, okay? And I grown a little bit. I'm not a Cessna no more, right? So I got some wheels now. So a little bit, right? But as we start to land this plane, I want to give you a couple pictures of what's going on here, right? And I was reading this book written by these three Chinese pastors, right? And they were talking about the difference between a believer in Jesus and a disciple of Jesus. Right? And that's the picture that they're painting here, right? Of people who just claim to know Christ and those who follow Him. And I want you to listen to what he says. True believers are usually people few understand. They are viewed as potentially unstable fanatics. All right. Behind me, I like this. Often the same government that tolerates the existence of mere believers will stop at no ends to completely eradicate any disciples within their borders. Did you catch what he's saying there? The government of China doesn't care if you're a believer of Christ. What they're afraid of is disciples of Christ, right? Those who do, right? He says, believers, listeners, try to follow God, but their prayers, their commitments are clouded by indecisiveness. If they ever hear the king's call to go somewhere or do something for the sake of the kingdom, they feel they need extra encouragement before they can step out. First, let me check with my wife, my pastor, my mother-in-law, and see if it's okay with them. A believer always seeks assurance that nothing will go wrong before he steps out in faith in Christ and follow Jesus. Only when they're convinced that the coast is clear and there will be no harm will they follow him. Do you guys ever find yourself there? Right, where you're worried, like, am I making the right decision? God put this on my heart, but first let me, right? And I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, that the word is planted in you. Right, that the Spirit is in you, and you feel the Spirit move you to action, move. Right? Again, Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understandings. In all your ways acknowledge Him. He will make straight your path. And this is the beauty of the implanted word and the Spirit planted in us. Right? It changes the attitude. Right? And he continues to say, in China, many disciples beg God that He would give them just a little piece of His dynamic power. They pray, oh God, will you lend me a little spiritual dynamite? And I promise I will take it to the deepest, darkest areas and pray that you have an fire explode from heaven there. The Chinese government wants to eradicate disciples. Believers they're okay with. Believers they're okay with. And this is how they say the word spread so far in China. It's by people hearing the word of God, remembering the word of God, and then putting it into action. Right, it's religious people in James' day and Jesus' day who knew the word and they fight the whole time against God's word. So this morning I want to challenge you guys. And I want to ask you, is the word planted in you? Right? And before you answer, the word is planted in me, I want you to ask yourself, does the word evoke action from me? Does this word move me to follow God? Does this word open my eyes to my sinfulness? Does it allow me to look at my sin, right? And look at the wrath that was due on me and see what Christ did on the cross for your sin and my sin? I want to ask you guys, has this happened in your life? I want to encourage you guys this morning. I don't care how long you've been going to church, right? how short you've been going to church, how long you've been saying you're a Christian? Does this word in you move you to action? Right? And so it's happening in your life. And again, I'll leave you with this quote from Matthew Henry as we start to land. And you guys can sit with your eyes closed and just listen, or you know, with your eyes open, it's fine. It'll be on the board behind me. But Matthew Henry says, if we heard a sermon every day of the week and an angel from heaven were the preacher, yet if I wrestled in only hearing, it would never bring us to heaven. Mere hearers are self-deceivers, and self-deceit will be found in the worst deceit at last. If we flatter ourselves, it is our own fault. The truth is, as it is in Jesus, flatters no man. Let the word of truth be carefully attended to, and it will set before us the corruption of our nature, the disorder of our hearts and lives, and it will tell us plainly what we are. Our sins are the spots the law discovers. Christ's blood is the laver the gospel shows. But in vain do we hear God's word and look to the gospel glass, and what we go away and forget our spots instead of washing them off, and forget our remedy instead of applying it. This is the case with those who hear the word as they ought, and only hearing the word, we look into it for counsel and direction, and when we study it, it turns to our spiritual life. Those who keep the law and the words of God are and shall be blessed in their ways with great gracious recompense hereafter would be connected with his present peace and comfort. Every part of divine revelation has its use in bringing the sinner to Christ for salvation and directing and encouraging him to walk at the liberty of the spirit of adoption according to the holy commands of God. And mark with distinctness, it is not for our deeds that any man is blessed, but is his deeds. It is not talking, but walking that will bring us to heaven. Christ will become more precious to the believer's soul, which by his grace will become more fitting for the inheritance of the saints in light. Let us pray. Father, we come before you, Lord, this morning. I pray that your word has been connected to your people. Father, I pray that if there's anybody here this morning who doesn't know you, or maybe they've been coming for years, but your word has not yet took root into their hearts, Father, that you would open their eyes to their sinfulness, that through your word they would be saved, Lord, that they would see your glory, Father. Lord, their eyes would be open to their sinfulness and how you had to turn your back on them, Father, but because of what Christ did on the cross, Father, they can be reconciled to you. So I pray that you'd open their eyes. Move your spirit in them, Father. I pray, Father, that we would repent of blaspheming your word, saying that it is in us but not doing anything, Father. Knowing that your word has power to move inside of us. So, Father, as we go on throughout the day, Father, that you would bring this word back into our minds. Father, your word back into our minds. Lord, that we wouldn't leave here and that's it. Another Sunday checked off the list. But Father, that we would leave knowing that your word is important. Your word has value because your word can save. And then finally, Lord, that we put your word into practice. That we don't just hear your word and walk away and deceive ourselves, Father, but we doers of your word, Father, because you have made it so. I love you and I praise you. In your precious name I pray, Jesus. Amen.